The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas Pinchas, we find in Perek Chof Ches, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Tzavos b'nei Yisrael, command the children of Israel, Yomarta Alehem, and say to them, Es korbani lachmi li'ishai reyach nichechi tishmaru la'akriv li b'mayadai. My sacrifice, which is my lechem, my sustenance, of my fire, reyach nichechi, which is of a pleasant scent, tishmaru, you shall guard it, lahakriv li, to sacrifice to me, b'mei adoy, in its proper time. B'yamata lahem, and you shall say to them, Zeh ishe asher takriv lashem. This is the offerings of the fire which you shall bring to me, sacrifice to me. Kvosim b'nei shonosim mimim shnaim layem ele somid. Sheep which are in their first year without blemish, two every day, and they should be an Eile Somid. That's an Ole is a burnt offering. Kula Kolil, it was entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. Esakev Sechot Taseh V'Boker, Ve'esakev Sasheni Taseh Bein Ha'Boim. One sheep should be brought in the morning, the other you shall bring Bein Ha'Boim. Bein Ha'Boim means, well, actually technically it means the afternoon, any time after the sun has passed its mid high point, any time after noon, after any time after noon, 1 minute after noon, that's, it's in between the Araboim. That's where the Aboim starts, and the Aboim finishes at sunset. So it has to be in that span. There's a question as to what the word means, Arboim, Aribus. Some say, the Rashi in the place would say, that Orev means darkness. That means once the brightness of the sun is over and it starts heading towards darkness. The Maral brings Arboim means from the word Orev, to mix, because then the dark and the light start to become mixed. That's the same thing as that we would call Erev, in other words, Bein Araboim. Now, this whole Parsha, which carries on for a long time, here in Parshas Pinchas, generally this is referred to as the Parsha of the Korbanos HaChag, the sacrifices of the Yom Tovim. We have the Yom Tovim mentioned here. The fact is, this is a, if you look in many of the Sifrei Torah, you'll see this area is very worn, because we read this on all of the Yom Tovim. And even more. So generally it's referred to as the Korbanos HaChag, the sacrifices of the Yom Tovim. But that's not totally accurate, because it is true, the sacrifices of the Yom Tovim are there, although not all of them. There are others also, but it is true. But in addition, you have the Tomid, which we just read, the Tomid Shel Shachris and Tomid Shel Ben Abayim. You have the sacrifices of every day listed here also. So you can't say that this is exclusive for the Korbanos HaChag. And the next one that's mentioned is Shabbos. See, in Pasuk Tes, it states, Yema Shabbos, Shnei Chvosim B'nei Shonot Mimim. Then on Shabbos you should bring two sheep. That's not the Chag. And the next one that's mentioned is Reish Chedesh. Pasuk Yud Aleph of Rosh Chodshechem Takrib Olel Asher. So it's Reish Chodesh. So it wouldn't be to correct. It is true that the Korbanos HaChag are listed here, but it wouldn't be correct to say that this is exclusively HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is telling Moshe to command the people to make sure to sacrifice properly on the Chagim, because it includes more than the Chagim. So what then is this referring to? It refers to what the Pasuk states. What we just read, Sabbath B'nai Yisrael B'malta Lehem, command the children of Israel to say to them, as Korbani Lachmi Lishai Reach Nichechi Tishmeru, that my sacrifice you shall guard, Lahakriv Li B'mei Adoi, to sacrifice it in its proper time. It is referring to the Korbanos Shel Tzibor. That's why it states Sabbath B'nai Yisrael, the sacrifices which came on behalf of the entire nation, which all had a proper time to be sacrificed, in which specific times during the year governed their sacrificing. And that's why this parsha is referred to as the Oles HaTamidim, or Oles HaChagim, or Oles Reish Chodesh, sacrifices that we were obligated to bring during specific times of the year. And the and therefore it covers more than just the Chagim. The fact is, if we count them, it covers 9 different periods of time. First, it refers to the Oles Tamidim Shel Kol Yom, the sacrifices that we were obligated to bring every day. And that was, as mentioned, the Korban Ola, a burnt offering. And those were known as the Olas HaTomid, or the Tamidim Shel Shachris, and the Tamid Shel Ben Abayim. We're obligated to bring every morning a sacrifice. Again, when we say we're not speaking here of there is a Korban Yochid and a Korban Shel Tzibur. There's a private individual sacrifice, and there's a sacrifice that the entire nation brought. We are referring here to the Korban of the Tzibur, where the entire nation would bring. So one was brought every morning, and another one was brought every afternoon. This was without exception, no exception. Secondly, is mentioned here, the Eile Shabbos B'Shabbatai, that on Shabbos we brought, that's what the Pasuk states in Pasuk Tes, of Yema Shabbos Shnei Chvosim B'nei Shonot Amimim, on Shabbos you must bring a special korban for Shabbos, and that was two sheep, in their first year without blemish. And this was Oles Shabbos B'Shabbatai. This was the Oles Shabbos. Three, the next one mentioned, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Uva Rosh Chodshechem Takriv, and Rosh Chedesh, we were again obligated to bring another korban. Now, not each korban was the same. Not each period of time demanded the same korban. The Reish Chodesh, again, it was an ola, but it wasn't sheep anymore. It was Porim b'nei Mokor Shnayim, two bulls, v'ayel echod, and a ram, kvasim b'nei Shonos Shiva. Then there were 7 sheep. Now, on Reish Chodesh, in addition to the korban ola, we brought also a chatas, a sin offering. As it states, Usirizim Echol Lachatos, that was in Posik Tesvov, Lashem, shall bring a sin offering. But this also was a Korban Sibor that came the Mayadai, that came in specific times. Then fourthly, the Torah deals here with the korbanos that came during Pesach. In Pesach Tezayin, it states of Achedish Harishin ba'arboso yom lachodesh, in the first month of the 14th day of the month, Pesach Lashem. Now that was not during the Chag, but that was Erev Yantif. Erev Yantif, Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, we brought what was known as the Korban Pesach. That also had a din of a Korban Sibur. And then, incidentally, that was not an Ola Orachatos, that had a din of a Shlomim. And then, further, it states, V'achamish also yim lachedish hazeh, Chog, on the 15th day of Nisan, will be a Yantif. Shivas yomim matzah she'oichel, and for 7 days you shall eat matzah. This is the Yom Tov of Pesach. And then the Torah tells us, as far as the korban is concerned, that we should bring special korbanos. Then, parim b'nei mokor shnayim ba'aylechon v'shiva kvosim, there should be the ola again, and then also a sir chatos echal lechaper. There should be a chatos. The chatos was a goat. And then this was brought ko'elu tasu le'yim shivashonim. This was brought every day of the 7 days of Pesach. From there, we go to a fifth time, and that's Chag HaBikurim. That's mentioned in Posuk Kovo v'yim HaBikurim. That refers to Shavuos. V'akrivchem mincha chadosha la'Hashem b'Shavuoseichem. So then we have to bring again an Ola and a Siyah Lachatos. Then on Posuk Choftes is mentioned a sixth time. That was Bachedesh Hashvi, in the seventh month, Be'echod Lachodesh, on the first of the month. That would be the first of Tishrei. So that's Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. That should be declared as a Yantif. This is referring Yom Trua. This is referring to the day of the Shofar, Rosh Hashanah. And again, we bring an Ola, and the Torah there defines what the Ola should be. And again, a Siyah Lachatos, a goat for a chatos. And then, on Pasuk Zayin, we have a seventh period of time. That refers to Be'osa Lachodesh, Hashvi Hazer. The tenth of the seventh month is again a Mikra Kodesh. Inisam Es Nafshe Seichem, this is Yom HaKippurim. And we should bring again an Ola, and then a Chatas, a Sir Izim, for a Chatas. And then, in Pasuk Yud Beis, we have an eighth time that's mentioned, an eighth period of time. And this is B'chamisho Asoyim, L'chedish Hashvi, on the 15th of the seventh month, which would be the 15th of Tishrei. This was the beginning of Sukkos. So that should be Mikra Kodesh, a Yantif, the Chagaisem Chag Lashem, and you should bring the Korban Ola again. And the Torah there defines, see, not each Yantif did we bring the same amount of animals or the same type of animals for the Korban of that Chag, but nevertheless it was a Korban Ola, and again it was a Sir Izim Lachatos. Now, when it came to Sukkos, we brought every day of Sukkos, all 7 days of Sukkos, like Pesach, but different than Pesach. Because on Pesach, we brought the same type of korbanos and the same amount on all 7 days of Pesach. But on Sukkos, it was changed every day. Every day there were differences. And then, we have a ninth period of time. And what is that? That is brought in Pasuk Lamed Hey. B'yom Hashmini Atzeres Tiyelachem, on the eighth day of Sukkos, which is another Yantif. See, Sukkos min HaTorah is only 7 days. But on the eighth day is another Yantif, Atzeres Tiyelachem. And that Yantif was called Atzeres. And that's why we refer to that Yantif as Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day of Sukkos, which is referred to as Atzeres. That's the day in Chutzlor, well, on that day in Eretz Yisrael, they make Simchas Torah. And in Chutzlor, so we keep 2 days, and the second day we make Simchas Torah. So there we were obligated to bring another korban, and that also was an ola, but it's specific amount, and a seer, and a goat for a chatos. Now, not these are not all of the sacrifices that were brought at the Yom Tovim. These were the general sacrifices that the tzibur had to bring on each Yom Tov. But sometimes there was a specific Yom Tov which required other sacrifices also, which are not listed here. For example, Yom Kippur had additional sacrifices, which is only mentioned here very vaguely. But these were the general sacrifices that each period of time demanded, that the tzibur brings. Together with the sacrifice, which was an animal, came a mincha and a sochet. What was that? For example, the Torah, and on each time, for example, the Torah writes here, begins with Pasuk Hey, Basiris Eifa Seles Lemincha, that you should bring a certain measure of flour. This was a flour offering, Belula Bashemen, which was mixed with oil, olive oil. The flour was from wheat. And then a certain measure of the oil. And then Veniske Revisahin. And also a certain measure of wine. So with each of the olos, not with the chatas, but with each of the olos, came the meal offering and came an offering of wine. And therefore, many times these were referred to as minchas nesochim. They were a korban, which came together with a mincha, which meant a flour offering, and a sochim, the wine offering. Now, what is interesting here is never would one sacrifice annul another sacrifice. One would never be mevatel chaveri. That means, but it would add the chaveri. That means as follows, that every day we would bring the tamidim. A sheep in the morning and a sheep in the afternoon. Actually, the sheep that was brought in the afternoon was brought in the late afternoon, even though it was kosher the whole afternoon. But the reason it would be brought in the late afternoon and the first one very early in the morning, because this formed your parameters of all of the sacrifices, and no sacrifices were allowed to be brought before the morning korban or after the afternoon korban. So therefore they would time it where the morning korban would be very early, as soon as you could bring it, practically speaking, and the afternoon korban would be towards evening, but still during daytime. But as we said, none of these would annul another one. What do we mean by that? It means as follows. Every day, two korbanos would be brought. One in the morning, one in the afternoon. On Shabbos, when we were obligated to bring another korban in honor of Shabbos, so it would not be just the Shabbos korban. It would not annul or replace the daily korban, but it would be in addition to it. That's what the Torah tells us here. In Pasuk Yud, where it tells us that we bring the special korban for Shabbos, so it states, "Ol Shabbos b'Shabbatai," you should bring the special korban for Shabbos, "Al Eilas HaTomid," in addition to the Ola, to the sacrifice that we were required to bring every day. So no korban would replace the other, but it would add to the other. Accordingly, on Reish Chedesh, we'd also have to bring two korbanos then, two separate sets of korbanos. We'd have to bring one for the daily korban, and then we'd have to bring the set of korbanos that were for the special ones for Rosh Chodesh. This is why it states in Pasuk Tesvov, Al Elas Hatov Migeosav Nisgoy, that when you bring the sacrifices for the Rosh Chodesh, it must not replace the daily sacrifice, but the daily set of sacrifices must also be brought. Now, accordingly, sometimes there would be three sets of korbanos brought, and that would be always on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah always falls on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah was the first day of Tishrei. So you would bring a set of korbanos as the daily set. You would bring another set of korbanos because it was Rosh Chodesh. And you would bring a third set of korbanos in honor of Rosh Hashanah. The Torah tells us this. In Pasuk Vov, where it's telling us of the korbanos of Rosh Hashanah, it states, Milvad Elis HaChodesh. Besides the sacrifices that you had to bring because of today was Rosh Chodesh. And then, and the Eilis HaTomid, and in addition to the Eilis HaTomid, the daily regular sacrifices that were brought, and each set would be brought b'melua, in totality, minchoser v'nizkehem k'mishpotom, together with the specific amount of animals that were brought, the specific meal offerings that were brought, the specific wine offerings that were brought. So in Rosh Hashanah there were always three sets brought. You could have, Rosh Hashanah we always had three sets. You could have three sets brought at other times also. For example, well, you had to have. There were time, other times when you had to have three sets brought also, and that would be on Pesach and Sukkot, because since Pesach was 7 days, so one day had to be Shabbos. And since Sukkot was 7 days, one day had to be Shabbos. So when Pesach or Sukkot would fall on Shabbos, so you'd have to bring the set for the daily korbanos, and the set for the korbanos of Shabbos, and the set for the korbanos of the particular chag. So there also you had to bring three. And then there were times that sometimes it would work out that you would bring three. For example, if Rosh Chodesh would come out on Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh comes on Shabbos, you would bring the daily set, you would bring the special set for Shabbos, and you would bring the set for Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, one never replaced the other, but rather it added to the other. This is why that in the Loshon Chazal, in the language of the sages, the daily korbanos were always called the tamidim, those that came all of the time without exception. All of the other korbanos were called musafin, additional sacrifices, because they always came in addition to the daily sacrifices. Another important point, which is very unique, is that there were no exceptions to these rules. Generally we have rules and we have exceptions. There were no exceptions to these rules, at least to my knowledge. That means there was never an exception when the Korban Tomid was not supposed to be brought. When the Beis HaMikdash was Bechurban, that was a different story. We didn't have the Beis HaMikdash. But the Beis HaMikdash stood, there was never an exception. There was never an exception when the Korban Shabbos would come. And there was never an exception when the Korban Rosh Chodesh would come. There was never an exception when any of the other of these korbans would come. The Gemara says, "B'me'adai," because here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you must, like we said, this is what he is telling Moshe Rabbeinu. He's telling them, tell Tzaves B'nei Yisrael, command the children of Israel, and say to them, "As korbani lach mili shayreach nichaychi," these sacrifices, which are the sacrifices of the entire nation, which come in specific times, for me, tishmaru, guard them, that they always come. Lahakriv li b'may adai, that without exception, they must always be brought in a specific time. So the Gemara says, therefore, the Wadeches HaShabbos, they took preference over the Shabbos. That means not only the Shabbos sacrifice took preference over Shabbos, but even the daily sacrifice. See, when you brought a sacrifice, there was a Chilul Shabbos, there was a desecration to the Shabbos. Many things you had to do, you had to shecht, you had to burn, and so forth. Nevertheless, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, must always come. So not only the Shabbos sacrifices took preference, but the daily sacrifices also. The Reish Chodesh sacrifices took preference. And the Yom Tovim. So that's why the Gemara says that they would always come, Afilu b'Shabbos, and Afilu b'Tumah. Even if the tzibur for some reason became kulam tameim, they all became impure. And when someone's impure, you can't bring a sacrifice. You're not even allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. It's an oven chamura. No, it was nitcha. Even if the tzibur was tameh, these sacrifices were brought. So there were no exceptions to these sacrifices. They came tamid all of the time. Tishmaru, guard them, that they should all be brought to Mayadai in their specific times. The Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos and Avchot Vavam at base that Tfilos mitmidim gomru are Tfilos that we daven. Now when the Chazal refer to Tfilo, in general that refers to the Shemein Esrei. What we call the Shemein Esrei, either the long Shemein Esrei of all 18 brachas or the shorter Shemein Esrei. Those tefillahs, which were written by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, where did we learn how to construct them and when we should say them? This was learned from the Tamidim, from these sacrifices. These sacrifices that the Tzibur brought, the nation brought, B'mei Adai, all in specific periods of time. Therefore, Atfila Shachris was learned, constructed in accordance to the Tomid Shel Shachar, to the morning sacrifice that was brought every day. Atfila Mincha was constructed in accordance to the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim, this daily korban that was brought every afternoon. Therefore, you'll notice that there are no exceptions to these tefillahs. There is no time during the year, at least to my knowledge, that we are not obligated to daven shachris or to daven mincha. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, yantif, whatever it might be. Because they were constructed in accordance to these sacrifices. And just like there were no exceptions to these sacrifices, so there were no exceptions to the obligation of these tefillahs. And also, there's manim. The structure, the time structure, was styled in accordance to the time structure of the sacrifice. So therefore, just like the Tomid Shel Shachris, the sacrifice in the morning could not be brought before daybreak, so therefore the Tefillah Shachris cannot be said before daybreak. And just like it had to be brought before noon, the same with the Tefillah Shachris. There's times that were given that we should daven earlier, but still it was valid until noon. And the Tefillah Mincha, just like the Tomid Shel Mincha, the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim, could be brought only 1 minute after noon. So the same thing with Tefillah Mincha. We're not allowed to daven until afternoon. Chachamim say we should wait chatzi shah, a half an hour, because it was difficult to determine exactly when it was one just afternoon. So therefore we wait a half an hour afternoon. And just like the Tomid Shel Ben Arbayim could not be brought once there was Shkia Sachama, once there was sunset. Now, exactly what sunset is a whole discussion in the Gemara. Is it at the beginning of the sunset or a little later on or when it's darkness? But whatever that was, so the tefillah shel mincha, our mincha, has to be before sunset. This is why, when it comes to Reish Chodesh, excuse me, let's first take Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, So now we say a tefillah shachris, and we say another tefillah, and it's called tefillah musaf. That's in honor of the korban shel Shabbos. And then we say a tefillah mincha. And there's no exception to that. Every Shabbos, to my knowledge, every Shabbos of the year, we must say a tefillah musaf in honor of Shabbos. No exception to my knowledge. And this is why, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh now, we will also say a tefillah musaf. See, it's referred to as musaf because those korbanos were meisifin. They weren't replacements, but they were added. Because on Rosh Chodesh, another korban came, the korban in honor of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore the Chazal were masakin that we have a tefillah for Rosh Chodesh, another Shemayne Esrei. And so is it with all of the Yom Tovim. And the Yom Tovim, be it Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkot or Shmini Atzeres or Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, there was always an extra korban brought in honor of that particular day. So we add a Shemayne Esrei in honor of that particular day. Now, go one step further. In the case where there were three sacrifices, we said there could be times of three sacrifices. So there, our Chazal did not add a third Shemayne Esrei. We don't find where in the morning we'll say three Shemayne Esreis. Maximum will say two. They didn't add a third Shemayne Esrei, but they did require us that in the Tfilas Musaf, in the additional Shemayne Esrei, we must mention and read the Seder HaKorban. You see, we must in that Shemayne Esrei read the halacha, the seder, the commandment of that particular korban, and make mention of that particular addition. And if we don't fulfill our obligation. So therefore, if it's, for example, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, so we say Shachris, and then we say a musaf, which is special both for Shabbos and for Rosh Chodesh. And it has there the special additions for Shabbos and the special additions for Rosh Chodesh, and in there are about the korbanos, the special korban for Shabbos and the special korban for Rosh Chodesh. And the same with all. For example, on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, if you look in the Nusach of the Machzorim, so we make mention not only that of the daily korban, and not only of the special korbanos for Rosh Hashanah, but the korbanos of Rosh Chodesh also, and so on. The now this that we said, that this parsha here in Pinchas is referring to the korbanos which came because of specific periods of time during the year. We said these are korbanos hatzibur, not korban yochid, the sacrifices of the nation. What is meant by that? What is meant by that is everyone was a partner. Everyone owned the sacrifice. How is that possible? It was possible through the Maksis HaShekel. We were commanded in Parshas Truma to bring every person who between 20 and 60, every person had to bring a Maksis HaShekel. And this Maksis HaShekel, a half a shekel, and actually in Parshas Truma, the Gemara darshins that there were three types of shkolim. One type of shekel, where the half a shekel went to help build the Mishkan. And another type went for the, well, one was for the Adonim, the silver foundations, and another went for all the necessities of the Mishkan. But one half a shekel was called for Keitz HaMizbeach, from those shkolim were purchased every year the animals which were used for these korbonos. And every year a person would give a half a shekel. From all of this money, so those, the gizborim, the treasurers, would go out and buy the animals. And these were the animals that were used for the korbonos hatzibur. Nimtza, so it came out that all of Yisrael were shutzpim. See, they were actual partners in these sacrifices. That's why it states, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'amalt aleihem, speak to the children of Israel. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the whole nation to be a partner in this. There's a Masechta which is called Masechta Shkolim that deals with this. So there it states that on Reish Chodesh Adar mashmin al Shkolim. When it came to Reish Chodesh Adar, so they would start sending out messengers and putting on public notices to remind everyone to bring their maxis hashekel, bring it to the proper places. That would be post set up near the site of the Beis Hamikdash and in other places. They would start to collect the shkolim. And why then? Because the Gemara darshaned that the new shkolim should be used as of the beginning of the year, which is Reish Chodesh Nisan. So 1 month before, they would start sending out the notices that everyone should bring their half a shekel. Gemara brings in near the end of Masechta Megillah, that's why on the Shabbos, which is nearest to Reish Chodesh Adar, we lay a special maftir, and that's the maftir of Parshas Shkolim. So everyone, Akol Bailim, see, they were all partners. The Gemara in Masechta Tainus brings what's a Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Kovov. Mishnah states the Fisha Nemar Tzavis B'nei Yisrael es Korbono Leachmi, command the children of Israel to bring my sacrifice. Is it possible that a person's sacrifice should be brought and he's not there? We said this is a sacrifice which representative of each and every one in Israel. So he has to be with the sacrifice. But you can't have called Israel coming up to the Beis Hamikdash, and especially every day and every Shabbos. Hiskinu nevim arishayinim. So the early prophets were masakin esrim ba'arba mishmores, 24 mishmores. how would we translate mishmores? What?
Shifts.
I think shifts would be better. 24 shifts. Al kol mishmar mishmar hayamayim v'yishalayim shel kahanim shel levim shel yisraelim. And the Mishnah elaborates on this. They were masakin 24 shifts. The Rambam says as follows. The Rambam is in Hilkes Kli Hamikdash Perek Shishi. Efshe shia korbonei shelodom korei vohu ena emer al gabov v'korbonos hatzibur hen korbon shekol Yisrael. Is it possible that a person's sacrifice is brought and he's not there? And the korbonos hatzibur, these national sacrifices, they were the sacrifices of every person in Israel. It's impossible that all Yisrael can be in the Azor and the courtyard at the time of the korban. The fichok tikna the vima rishayim sheivru mi Yisrael ksheirim v'yirechet. Therefore, the early prophets instructed that Yisrael should choose representatives, special people who are very upright, yirechet, people who are God-fearing, Yushluchei Kol Yisrael, and they will be the representatives of Kol Yisrael, Lameid Ala Karbonos, to stand for them by the Karbonos, and they were called Nikroim Anshe Maimad. They were called the people of the Maimad. Maimad means like a shift that is standing for you. B'cholka Yisom Chof Dalin Maimodis. Kiminyan Mishmoris Kuna Leviya. There were 24 shifts of Kahanim always working, and of Levim, because the Kahanim had work to do every day, and so did the Levim. But they didn't have all the Kahanim work every day. They distributed it. They divided all the Kahanim in 24 different shifts, and they divided the Levim in 24 different shifts throughout the year. So each one had his few weeks to work. And this way they would rotate. So the Levim were mesakein that we should make also 24 shifts of people that were chosen. And v'al kol maimed ha-maimed, echad mehen mamun al kulam, v'u nikra reisha maimed. And then there was one in charge of every shift, and he was called the reisha maimed. So these were the chov dalet maimodes, or chov dalet mishmores. B'chol Shabbos u Shabbos, miskaptsin anshe maimed shalaisi Shabbos. Every week or every period of time that it would be for that shift, so then they would all come together. Those that live near Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim or near Yerushalayim, they would come and join the shifts for that week of the Kohanim and the Levim. But what about people that lived outside of Yerushalayim or far away? So what would they do? So they, kibun shegiya maimed shalahem, he miskaptzin lebeis hakneses bimkeimam. They would go into the shuls in their cities. What would they do? Ma'ahin ausin. Elu ha-miskaptzin beim Yerushalayim beim botik nizosais. So first of all, see, their job was twofold: to represent Klal Yisrael, that they were at the Korban, at the sacrifice, but also to assure that the sacrifice was Lerotzain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would accept the sacrifice. So therefore, they had to be Ksherim, people upright, Yerei Chet, God-fearing people. And what would they do? They would Misanim. Many days of the week they would fast. Rambam brings, many days of the week they would fast. Boris says, Erev Shabbos they wouldn't fast because of Kovod Shabbos. And also it's interesting, bring Sunday they wouldn't fast. Kedei Be'echod B'Shabbos they wouldn't fast. Why? You see, many people like to take it easy on Sunday. Here you have a source for it. Sunday they won't fast. Why? Kedei shela yetsu me'einig Shabbos litzom. So otherwise it's two extremes. Here Shabbos they're eating everything possible, and they're enjoying themselves, and all of a sudden Sunday they eat nothing. Actually, there's a Gersa in the Gemara in Tainus that says, but it's a shaila for Gersa or not. But the Gemara in Tainus, the Gersa says that such a thing is dangerous. It brings it. That was brings a girsa. It says they were misanin 4 days of the week they would fast. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Shav Shabbos not they covered a Shabbos, but they beechod b'Shabbos and not on Sunday. Shalayetsu mimanucha ve'enig liyagia v'tainis v'yamusu, that they wouldn't go from manucha and from luxury and rest to a tainus, v'yamusu, and they could die from it. So the Rambam doesn't bring v'yamusu, but he says there. So here you have a source that Sunday you got to take it a little easier. Right. Actually, so there could be a source for that. There's a Rav that comes here from Eretz Yisrael, And he says whenever he comes to Johannesburg and he comes on Sunday, he realizes that this is Shabbos Shnei Shel Golias. Just like the Chazal made a Yantiv Sheni of Golias, you see in South Africa there's a Shabbos Shnei Shel Golias. But here we have a source for it, see. And then they would be mispal, and the Gemara goes through a whole business. They would be mispalo the tefillah shachis and mincha, then they would be mispalo at neilo, as tefillas neilo and a musaf and whatnot, and they would bring out the sefer Torah and they would lane, and all of this was in, what? Well, it seems on these days, yeah, when they were fasting. So, but all of this was, see, there would be 24 mishmores, so it only come out during the year, a couple of weeks for each person during the year. And they would, all of this was, so it was as if Klal Yisrael, every individual was there at the korban. And he was being mispalel, he was mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this korban should be accepted. This is what is known as the mishmores, or the maimodes, the anshe maimed. Now, the purpose of every sacrifice, first let's take a korban yochid, sacrifice a private korban of an individual, which there are many different types. Some are obligatory, some are optional. What was the purpose? Maral brings that was to bond the person with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when he brought his sacrifice, it had to be his animal. See, he was bringing his possession, and he was giving to give to Hashem. The fact is, it had to be Nikra Hashem Bailov. He had to own it. So, and the possession of a person is part of a person. So it's as if he was giving a part of himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was giving what he owned to Hashem. And he was giving it to his Creator. So this would create a kesher, a bond between he and his Creator. And that's why korban is called korban from Loshen korov, korev, means to bring close. Through this, he would be bringing himself closer to his Creator. But there was more than this. Through this also, he was being me'ached, and he would be mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was unifying and crowning Hashem, coronating Hashem. Why? You had your Evdei Aveiros Zorah, your idolaters. They also brought sacrifices. But who did they bring sacrifices to? Some brought to the mountains, others brought to the sun, others brought to the sea, others brought to idols. When Israel brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was making a public declaration that the sea is not the creator, and the idol is not the creator, and the sun is not the creator, and the stars are not the creator, but you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the creator, and I'm giving you what I have. And not only that, it was all yours, and I'm giving it back to you. So this was a public declaration that you are the creator of the universe. And therefore it was called an ichud. He was be'achid. He unified HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He singled him out. You take the kofrim. There were Evdei Aveiros Zorah, the idolaters, and then there were kofrim. The kofrim were the deniers. Today we have plenty of both. We have plenty of deniers. The communists were deniers. They outlawed all religion. Today you have modern science, which much of it denies any religion. I mean, the evolution is that no one created the world. So they don't bring sacrifices at all. Why should we bring sacrifices? To who? See? The world was, there was no one, that, there's no creator. So who should we sacrifice to? So the others either sacrificed to all different types of forces in the world, or others didn't sacrifice at all. We sacrificed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're being mamlich, we're coronating him, and we're unifying him, that he is the unified force of the entire world. Therefore the Maral says that in the whole parsha of the Korbonis, you'll find that only the Shema Miyuchad is written, the Yudke Vovke, because this brings out the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's singleness as the creator of the world. We're Hu Levade, he himself and no other. So this is what a person did when he brought a sacrifice. And therefore the Chazal always refers to the sacrifices as the Avodah, Avodah's Eved. It was a service. He was serving a master. As an Eved L'Rabbi, as a servant serves his master, this is what a Jew did when he brought a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole pattern of the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara always refers to as a servant who stands in Kamei Marya before his master, before an Odom. We have also a Korban Chatas. Chatas was a sin offering. If a person committed an Avera, he had to bring a Chatas. Now this also is of the same pattern. The Maral explains why. He says when a person committed an Avera, he was misrachik from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He distanced himself from Hashem. A chatas, the Chazal bring, that word chet does not necessarily mean sin. That word chet in Lashon HaKodesh means something which is lacking, where something's missing. There's a pasuk, for example, by Bathsheba, where Bathsheba was telling David that if you let someone else take over the kingship, we will be chatoim, me and Shlema. What does it mean, chatoim? We will be left out in the cold. We will be lacking. See, that's what the actual word means. It's used as aveira, but it means to lack. That means when a person does an aveira, so he's distanced from Hashem, where a vacuum is created, and therefore he's lacking. So therefore, he needs a korban even more, because the purpose of the korban was where he created a bond between the Eved and the Rabbi, which brought him closer. Through an Avera, the person was nisrakeg, became distant, and a vacuum was created. Therefore the Torah says he should bring a special korban, a korban chatas, which now brought him closer. So these were the purposes of the korban of the yochid, of the individual. And similarly, the same with tefillos, which the Chazal, the sages, enacted. See, the purpose of the tefillah was the fact that a person is mispalo, he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something. This is a declaration that he's the creator. You don't go and ask someone for panosa who's not bekeach, who doesn't have the ability to give you panosa. You don't go and ask someone for refuah shlema to someone who doesn't have the ability to cure you. You don't go and ask someone for geula, for redemption, or for das, for knowledge, when what ability does he have? So from the fact that we bring our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so this is a declaration that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to give us parnosa, to give us das, to give us refuah, to give us geula. He has the ability. And we are therefore declaring, and we are being ma'ached, we are singling him out that he is the only one, because he's the only one that we're mispalo to. We don't go and be mispalo to others like the Averizor. Or we do not deny tefillah entirety. An evolutionist has no place for tefillah. So this is the same with tefillah, and that itself is miskat mekarav. That itself brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what about the korban shel tzibur? The korban shel tzibur was this and much more, because this represented the sacrifice of the whole nation of Israel. This was their sacrifice, and it was brought in the Beis HaMikdosh. Who owned the Beis HaMikdosh? HaKol Bailim. The Beis HaMikdosh belonged to all of Israel. There was no private ownership. It belonged to the whole nation. It was in the territory of Yehuda, and also in the territory of Binyamin. But Yehuda and Binyamin didn't own Beis HaMikdosh. It belonged to all of Israel. In fact, there's a shaila in the Gemara even on Yerushalayim. Even in Yerushalayim, there's a shaila in the Gemara if there can be private ownership. So if you buy a flat in Yerushalayim, you should look into this first. See? There's a shaila that when the people came up from the Regolim, that if you were allowed to rent places to them, because they could say, it's mine like yours. See, this was the shaila if Yerushalayim also was like the Beis HaMikdosh, the Mokam HaMikdosh. It's Chalkalish for Aleh. But the Beis HaMikdosh, everybody agrees. There was no private ownership. That's the same with Gemara says a Beis HaKnesses shel Krach, a shul that was built in a city. There's no private ownership, because it was built for Kol HaElam, for all of Israel. So Israel owns it. So nobody can say it's mine. See? So this was the same with the Mikdosh. This could be the explanation which we learned not long ago, that there was the Deshne Shal Yerichai. There was an area of land in Yerichai, right near Yerichai, Jericho, which was the size of the site of the Beis HaMikdosh, and that would be given to those whose territory were used for the Beis HaMikdosh. You see, because when the Beis HaMikdosh was built on their territory, they lost ownership of that. It was a great schus, they fought for that schus, Binyamin and Yehuda, but lost ownership of it, see? So they were reimbursed with another piece of land. But at any rate, when a korban was brought, a korban shel tzibur, and this was owned by all of Israel, and this was brought in the Mokam HaMikdosh, which also belonged to all of Israel, and this was the Merkas of the Olam, the center of the world. Yerushalayim is brought as the heart of the world, and the Beis HaMikdosh was the heart of Yerushalayim. This became a world declaration. A world declaration that, do you want to know who the Creator is? Who are we bringing this korban to? See, as korboni lachmi, this belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He and He alone. And then that is the greatest denial and the greatest rebuff of all of the Avodah Zarah and all of the Kafirim and all of the evolutionists. And this was not only a isalus, an elevation for Klal Yisrael, this became an elevation for the whole world. Except Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Yisrael to be the shluchim for this of the world. So when this korban was brought, the korban shel tzibur, and it belonged to all of Israel, and it was brought in the place which belonged to all of Israel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zu beis tefillah, this is my beis tefillah. So this brought the whole world closer to Hashem, and this was a declaration that He is the one that we bring sacrifices to. He is the one that we look to. And this became the Yichud and the Malchus, where He was singled out as the Melech of the universe, and everything else was rebuffed. And Israel were chosen to do this on behalf not only of themselves but the entire world. So this was in Yisalus an elevation to the entire world. And now we can see why it had to be done constantly and continuously, without exception. Every day without exception. Because how can there be an exception to this? Every day creation goes on. Every day the sun rises. Every day the sun sets. There couldn't be an exception to this unless there would be an exception to the universe. That's why every day without exception, tomid, shel shachris and shel bein habayim, as the sun rose and as the sun set. There had to be this declaration which would elevate the world and be mizdabek and mikasher and bind the world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. So therefore it was done every day without exception. This was the tomid. What happened on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh or the Ma'adim? There, what happened is, on those days, they were special days. And an extra amount of Or and Kedusha came to the world. Those days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shined and gave to the world extra. Shabbos, he gave extra. Sukkot, he gave extra. Pesach, he gave extra. So therefore, we were obligated to be makasher the world, ourselves in the world, to him even more. Now, it couldn't replace the other, because the other was going on also. The sun was still rising, the sun was setting, and everything, the universe was continuing. So therefore, in addition to the daily sacrifice, we had to add one. If it was Shabbos, we had a special one for Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh, another one. Yom Tov, another one. See? So this is what took place when it was on the special Ma'adim. What took place on Rosh Chodesh, though? We can understand what took place on Shabbos, see? And on Yom Tov. But what took place on Rosh Chodesh? So this is a Gemara. It's a very difficult Gemara. And many, many try to explain what the Gemara is talking about. And everyone has great difficulty with it. And the Maral writes in the Goraye that this is from the deepest Sisrei Torah. Very, very deep and concealed. But there's a little we can understand. And the Gemara is troubled with this. When it comes to the Korban of the Rosh Chodesh, it says as follows. This is on Pasuk Tesvot. It says, Usir Izim Echad Lachatas Lashem. You should bring a Seir Izim, that was a goat, for a Chatas. Then it says Lashem, for Hashem. No other place does it say that. In all the other places, it says, for example, Pasuk Chof Beis, where a chatas was brought, it would say, Seir chatas echad lechaper alechem. A seir came, a goat came as a sin offering, to be mechaper on you. But here it says, that's what it said all of the time, that a goat should come, lechaper alechem, and that is Pasuk Lamed, to forgive you, to atone for you. By Rosh Chodesh it comes along and it says, Asiris imechod lechatas l'Hashem. The goat came as a chatas for Hashem, as a sin offering for Hashem. What's Hashem have to do with it? Why does he need a sin offering? Rashi brings the Gemara. He brings just part of the Gemara. So the Gemara is in Chulin, Daf Samech Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows. There's a whole discussion, a whole dialogue here between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the moon. Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Romi, Ksiv. Reb Shimon ben Pazi asked a contradiction in the Psukim. At the beginning of the creation it states, Vayas Elokim es shnei amaodes hagdolim. The beginning of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the two great lights. Then later on it says, the Samora Godel ve Samora Koton, the great light and the small light. Now, that's good. That would be good if a human being was writing. But not when the Torah writes so exactly. When the Torah says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the two great lights, this refers to two lights which were both great and equal. And then it says, then it explains he created the great light and the small light. So it's contradictory. So the Gemara says this is what happened. After he created the two great lights, Omru Yerech Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moon came to Hashem. Ribbeinu Shel Olam, he says, Master of the Universe, Efshel Lishnei Malochim Shishtamshu B'Keser Echad, is it possible there can be two kings? How can there be two kings over one domain? Who is the king of the nature? It's the sun. But at the beginning of the creation, the sun and the moon were equal. So therefore both the sun and the moon were the kings of the nature. It's the most powerful natural force in the world. So the moon came and said, how can there be two kings with one crown? You can't have two kings. You can't have two bosses. One has to be the boss. Omer lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right. Lechu mati es atzmecho. Go and minimize yourself. Amr lefonav, so the moon said, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, ha'il ve'amati lefanecha dover hogen amid es atzmi. Because I said something that's good and right, you tell me to make myself smaller. Why should I make myself smaller? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right. Now, he had to make one smaller because the complaint was a justified, bona fide complaint. There cannot be two kings. There can only be one king. So one had to become smaller. But now the problem was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a very disgruntled servant that he had to appease. So he said, all right, I'll appease you. L'chim moshol b'yema b'layla. I'll let you rule over the day and the night. See, actually the moon is out there in the day also. And the sun doesn't rule at night. Amr le mayra wusa d'shaga v'tara mayhani. The moon said, what's the big deal? He says, I rule during the day. He says, you can't see me during the day. My light doesn't show during the day. So what good is that? So he says, Amalu. So Kodesh Baruch Hu had a whole debate with him. He says, look, Klal Yisrael will count by you. No, he says, but they have to count by the sun also. So he says, I'll tell you what. He says, you'll be known as the Morakotin. And that's a very choshva thing, because my tzaddikim are known as the Morakotin. State by Yaakov Akotin. By Shmuel says Shmuel Akotin. David says David Akotin. These are all psukim. So you'll be known as the Kotin. Chazi de lekem misvedaitu. The moon wasn't satisfied with all that. Wasn't satisfied. Right. So finally, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, I'll tell you what. Hevia kapore alai. I'll make it where they'll bring a kapora, they'll bring an atonement for me because I made you smaller. Why? By the seer Reish Chedesh, by the chatas that comes on Reish Chedesh, does it say for Hashem? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seer Zeye Kapora, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this goat should be an atonement for me, an atonement, al shemi adati asiyareach, because I made the moon smaller. So first of all, it's difficult to understand, because what does it mean Hashem needed a kapora, and you bring a kapora for Hashem? But secondly, how did that appease the moon? That's not going to appease the moon. The moon is still in second place. He's second best. He wants to be best. So, just very concisely, the Maral explains as follows. The moon was right that there could not be two great lights, because there has to be one king, one boss. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to minimize his light. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu minimized the light of the moon, that actually minimized the light in the world. Because you could imagine, if the moon was the same strength as the sun, there was an enormous light in the world. It was double light. So it actually took away from the light of the world. So there was a vacuum. On this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when he said, what I'll do is I'll have Klal Yisrael bring a sacrifice. See, he says, I'll tell you what. He said, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hevia Kapora Alayish, Shemiyadati Yasiyareach, that they should bring a kapora for me, that I made the Yareach smaller. What's he referring to? He's referring to the Korban Reish Chedesh. I'll command Klal Yisrael that every Reish Chedesh, they must bring a special Korban. And in that Korban will be a sin offering, a chatas, and that will be because I minimized you. Now, why does Yisrael bring a sacrifice on Reish Chedesh? And what is the purpose of the extra sacrifices that came on Reish Chedesh? The purpose is, like we said on all of the Yom Teyah, on Shabbos, because on those days, a special light in Kedusha, a Musaf, a Tesfus, an additional light in Kedusha came to the world, beyond the daily light in Kedusha that comes to the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, in honor of that, we bring a korban. It creates an aliyah, creates an elevation in the world, and we bind ourselves with a korban to Hashem. Reish Chedesh also. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the moon, even though I made you smaller, and I took your light away, I will give you light that the sun doesn't have. And what is that? You will have a chidush of or. The sun's light is constant. Never changes. It's interesting, I read once in a scientific bulletin that they always try to calculate how long will it take for the sun to burn out. Because everything that burns, something becomes consumed. You can't burn endlessly, you're burning fuel. And they've come to the conclusion that from all the calculations, nothing has changed. The sun's light is constant. The moon diminishes to a complete darkness. And then it's mechadish itself. It renews itself from nothing that the sun doesn't have. That's why the month is called chodesh, from the word chodosh, because the month begins when the new light appears from the moon that did not exist before. As far as we're concerned, there's a new light that comes into the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, I have to strike a deal with you. You want to be as great as the sun. You can't be the same as the sun, otherwise you'll have two kings, two bosses. But I'll give you something that the sun doesn't have. The sun has no chidush or. It has no new light. That light is constant. I'll give you the power to renew yourself from nothing every month. An or chodosh. Ischachus, a chodosh. And because of that, Klal Yisrael will have to bring a special korban for you. Because when a new light comes into the world, and that light ultimately is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's the one who gave the moon the power for that, they must bring a korban. And when they bring the korban, they will bring the chatas. And that will adjust what I did. Are you happy with that? The moon was happy. He says, that's a davar gadol, that's a great thing. That Klal Yisrael, a new light will come from me that the sun cannot give. And that's why we never bring a korban for the sun, see, outside of the daily korban. And for me, every time there's this new light that's coming,
So Klal Yisrael will come on behalf of the entire world and bring a korban. That'll adjust and affix what I did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that I minimized you. In other words, Zeh Temura Zeh. See, that will be an exchange. So therefore, that's what is meant when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he said, all right, he said, I will... He saw that the moon wasn't appeased. I will fix it. The Klal Yisrael will bring a korban in exchange from the fact that I minimized you. Why will they bring the korban? Because it will be a Reish Chodesh. Why will it be a Reish Chodesh? Because there will be ischatshus of the new light. I will give you the power to renew yourself. And that's a power the sun doesn't have. And that way you'll be greater than the sun. So, because they'll renew yourself, Klal Yisrael will bring on behalf of the whole world a korban just for you, and that korban will be Chatzos Lashem. That will fix up what I took away from you. So that's what it means that it states here: Usir Izim Echot Lachatos. You must bring a seer, which will be Chatzos Lashem. That will fix up what I did for you. So this now, so it comes out that every Reish Chodesh is a new Kedusha comes to the world. It's a Kedusha that we don't have. And that's the, from darkness comes light. Because the moon disappears, totally disappears. The halacha is, ki mitzien teitzei sora, the Gemara darshins, that only from Yerushalayim and from the Sanhedrin Agdola could they establish when the new month would start. And that's when in Yerushalayim they would see. Or in that area, the witnesses would come and testify, there's no moon, but now we've seen it. We've seen the new light. So then when the light, new light appeared, that would become the Chodesh, and then they would be Metzavah, they would command to bring the Korban Reish Chodesh. So this was it, a new light, and this is a light which brings the powers of the Or and the Kedusha, because this light ultimately is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This comes every Reish Chodesh, and that's why we bring this Korban. Incidentally though, that light, that new light, it's brought in the Chazal that we have difficulty in discerning. That's why it's like a Yitiv Gor, like a Sus or a Pesach. We have difficulty discerning. It states that in the time of the Melech HaMashiach, then we will discern that entire new light. But it's brought that Reish Chodesh is a special Yanta for the women. They can discern it better than us, because we lost that power at the Chet of the Egel, see, at the sin of the golden calf. But they didn't sin at the golden calves. That's why for them it's a greater yantif. At any rate, this is what it means, Sir Echod Lechatas Lashem, and this explains these parashas. Now, let us conclude. From all of this, firstly we see a couple principles. Firstly, we see the importance of Tamidin. Something that has no exception. Every day, these sacrifices, Tishmaru. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, guard these sacrifices because this has to do with the creation, with the universe. This creation and the universe has no exceptions. And then we see that actually how close a Jew has to live with the time and the creation. See, our whole life is intertwined. The Jew's life is intertwined with time and creation. We've all seen the calendar. Sometimes it's intertwined with the calendar, not with the time and creation, see? But it's intertwined with time and creation. Every morning, the sun rises, there was a whole asik, all types of enormous things to do in the Beis HaMikdash, to bring the Korban Shel Shachris. every afternoon as the sun was setting. There was another Asik to bring. That was daily. Comes the Rosh Hashabbos, there was more. Comes the Rosh Chodesh, there was more. See? Comes this month, comes this Yontif. We mentioned 9 times. This was besides all the private sacrifices and the other things. This was and all the other avodas. There was the lighting of the menorah twice a day. There was the bringing of the keteris, the incense twice a day, and on and on. And we this was all on our behalf. And we had our shluchim there. And the Chazal were masakin for us the shachris. This is atfilas shachris. This is atfilas mincha. This is atfilas musafin. We have to live totally intertwined with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, which changes every day, every movement of the sun. See, constantly. Second thing, this is what some of the principles we learn from here. Now, Bizman HaZeh today, even though we do not have our Beis HaMikdosh, so we cannot fulfill this in totality, but our Chazal tell us that the Seder HaKorban is Bim Kemam. That means that the studying of the Korbanos and the reading of the Korbanos in their proper time, though, is in its place. So that's why, like in the Tfilas, we say the Tfilas. That's why in the special times of the Korbanos we lain from the Sefer Torah on those sacrifices. And on the Musafim we insert that also in our tefillahs. That is in its place. This gives us some insights into this parsha. This is what is known as the Korbanos, the Korbanos HaTzibur that came all at specific times. And we should be zecher to fulfill them now and in Yitz Hashem in its totality b'mheir of Yomein.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.